The Lord has been speaking to me about prayer, as you know. He told me that as a church, we were behind. I don't think we're as behind as we were, but we're still not caught up. We're getting caught up as a church. We're behind, he said, in prayer. If you get behind in anything, maybe you get behind in your schedule trying to catch up, or you're a little late for each appointment or something, or you get behind financially, you can do something to get caught up. And so that's what we're doing to get caught up. We're spending some extra time in prayer. And he's dealing with me tonight about something here in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the back to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. You know, we've always read about the burning bush, but this is the reason it was a burning bush. An angel appeared in that bush. If you study one of the category of angels, one of them, I believe it's the cherubim. I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that. But I think it's cherubim. They are, that's the definition of them, flame of fire. So it's very possibly a cherub angel. And so there appeared, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So it was really not a natural fire, it was a supernatural fire. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And you know the story. We won't talk. My points that I want to make are not necessarily in the rest of that story, but you know the story. Put off your shoes. That's the holy ground. And God really commissioned him to go back to Egypt. Remember, he had had to flee Egypt because he killed that Egyptian, and they found out about it. So he fled for his life. But 40 years later, God's dealing with him to go back, and he gave him a sign. Remember the sign of throwing down his rod and so forth. And so, and that was confirmation of God sending him. So, but I want you to see that God did this in this burning bush. Now, I want you to notice here, this is something we're going to apply to prayer here tonight. I want you to notice that this angel appeared in this bush, and he could see it. He noticed it wasn't burning. And he said in verse 3, I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And verse 4 is very, very important. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, he called unto him out of the bush. And the commission came. You read the whole story. So, notice that Moses noticed something that was unusual, which was actually supernatural. It says the angel appeared. I think that's something we didn't maybe notice. The Lord appeared unto him in flame fire. He might have seen the angel. But he did see the bush and that it was not burning. But here, anyway, he's saying there's something supernatural over there. I'm interested. I'm going over there to find out what that is. Here he is. Notice he's feeding his father-in-law's Jethro. He's feeding his father's sheep on the backside of the desert. In other words, he's on the job. He's taking care of natural duties, menial tasks. We all have them. And so he's on the job, and the supernatural starts moving. He wanted to know more about it. He didn't just say, that's interesting, and keep on walking. He turned to see what it was. Notice how it says in verse number 3, he looked, and behold, the bush was, verse number 3. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Whenever the supernatural starts moving, you need to be interested enough to turn aside.
That's good.
Yes.
I've seen people come to special meetings, get healed, go back to their old dead church that didn't get them healed. For 20 years didn't get them healed. And go back and sit back in that dead church. They wanted what they had. They wanted their need met. But they weren't interested in how to make that work. They weren't interested in why is that not working in my church, but it's working in this church.
Come on.
That's not being interested.
That's right.
And people that are not interested never get any more revelation or any more assignments to move in what they once came in contact with, because they weren't interested enough to turn aside and say, what is that? How does that work? Why did that work for me? Why did it work there and didn't work here? You know what I'm talking about? I guess sometimes I have to watch it, but I get perturbed almost. It just seems to me, I don't even understand that kind of thinking. Whenever I came in contact, when I was in high school, I came in contact with the move of God came through my high school in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First time I heard about it. First time in my life that I heard about it. I'm like, what? What did you say? What is that? I was interested. I said, I was interested. Amen.
Amen.
I was interested. My wife, she was always been interested. When God spoke to her, when she thought she was going to ORU, and then God, well, she did later, but then first of all, she thought she was going to ORU, and she went over to Raymond campus to take a tour, and something started stirring in her. She's like, what is that? What is that? She's interested. She's interested.
That's right. That's right.
I don't think her and I are especially gifted beyond other people that have not done anything in the ministry. But I just think we're more interested. And we keep everything off of that interest. We keep natural things off of it. We keep natural interests way down second. It's not up equal to any of our spiritual interests. I'm getting somewhere with this. Are you still out there? So Moses was interested. He had some kind of desire on the inside of him reaching out for what is that? That's supernatural. What is that? I'm interested in knowing more about that. Amen. I said amen. If you read Psalm 103:7, you'll find that because Moses kept that the rest of his life, he kept that interest up. It says that God, children of Israel never knew anything more than what God did. And Moses got to know his ways. He kept pressing in to the way God does things. And I'm going to apply what we're talking about here tonight to prayer. Are you interested enough not just to see the move of God come, but to be a part, to draw near to God and be a part of facilitating the move of God? Are you interested in, like the story Pastor Hernandez told me a story one time. I don't think I've ever met this couple, but they're in his church. He said he had a lady and her husband come. They had always been in traditional churches, you know, all their life. And so they never knew anything about the word or the real things of the spirit. But they came in and started getting a hold of the word and learning about the things of the spirit. And he said this woman became quite a prayer warrior. We use that term sometimes. We're not fighting the devil, but you know what I mean? She just gave herself to prayer and she prayed things through and stuff. She really got a hold of that, the flow of the spirit. There is a flow of the spirit in prayer. There's more than God bless me, Lord, I believe I receive. You know what I'm talking about? Lord, I pray that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. That's all scripture and we need to do it all. But there's more to prayer than that. There's a place in the spirit in prayer. Are you interested? Are you interested enough to turn away from natural things? Huh? Are you interested enough to show up in prayer meeting? Well, you're here, so that proves that. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm interested. Praise the Lord. So Moses, because he was interested, God spoke further to him. Amen. We're in a time where God's saying it's time for a greater move of the Spirit. Are you interested? Are you interested enough to become not just an observer but a facilitator of it? These things, there's been no revival that's ever happened in the history of the world that didn't come out of a prayer meeting or people pray. Maybe the prayer meeting itself, not exactly, but people were praying. Well, what about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost? Read it closely. They were all in one accord praying. What about the healing revival? Pastor Brother Hagin prayed that out. He said there were others. He found out later. Amen.
That's Amen. Right.
The Pentecostal revival. We call it the Azusa Street revival. That came out of prayer. You read the revival over there in Wales. That all came out of prayer. There's just no such thing as a revival,
yeah.
A move of the Spirit,
yes, right.
That brought in great harvest without somebody prayed that out.
Yes.
Are you interested?
Yes.
So this lady, this was in Pastor Hernandez's church. This lady, she started getting a hold of the word. She started getting a hold of how important what you say is. And she started getting a hold of the move of the Spirit in prayer. And she said, she went to her husband because they were just starting to learn the word. She said, you know, we're learning about, I don't think he went to church as much, but she was learning, she was growing spiritually more than him, quicker than him. But she said, you know, I'm really starting to understand from the Bible how important our words are. And she started to encourage her husband, because her husband had said all his life, since she knew him, that he would never live past the age of 40.
Oh, wow.
You ever heard people say that things like that? I don't know why. I shouldn't say I don't know why. The enemy will plant seeds in people's minds, try to get them to say things so that the enemy can do it. And somehow or another, this particular man had taken one of those thoughts. I don't know why. But just he took that thought. And so he had been saying that, but she started getting hold of how important your words were. And she said, I wish you wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to die. The Bible said we're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. I'll live and not die, you know. And so she's trying to get him, you know, to hear that. And I think he heard it a little bit, but, you know, just he'd been so rutted in it. You know, he wouldn't say it. He would continue to say the wrong thing. So she said, "This Pastor Hernandez told me this. Yeah. Pastor Hernandez is a very man of integrity. He wouldn't tell me something that wasn't true." He said, just a few days or a few weeks or something before his 40th birthday, one day, just wasn't even thinking about it, but she started getting this spirit of prayer on her. Now, what is the spirit of prayer? It's the anointing that comes on you, and you get an urge, you got to pray. There's a move of the Spirit in prayer. Remember Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is in the Spirit? It means under the anointing of the Spirit, by the leading of the Spirit, by the prompting of the Spirit, so forth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So there's a flow of the Spirit in prayer.
Yes.
Have you been flowing in it?
Come on now.
Amen. Yeah. So she got this burden. We call it a burden. It's not really a burden like a burden, but it's a yearning. I got to pray. And she didn't even know what it was about. But she started yielding. She yielded to it for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days. And then it sort of lifted. She sort of got through it. You know, the Bible talks about praying under the anointing. Well, whenever you get it prayed through, that anointing will lift because you're done. You got it.
Yeah.
And sometimes there'll be a laughter. Sometimes there'll be rejoicing. Sometimes you just don't have the unction to pray anymore. But you got it prayed through.
Yes.
Whatever needed to be prayed about, you prayed it out.
Yeah.
That's the advantage of praying in tongues. When we don't know what to pray about, we can pray about what we don't know about. Soon as I started speaking in tongues, I engaged the plan of God, but the plan of God started moving forward much more rapidly. I prayed in my understanding before that, but when you only pray what you know, you only get what you know. God's got a lot of things planned that you don't know. I know the plans I have for you, plans of good.
Hallelujah.
Well, I've never had an angel come to me and help me finish my house. Well, did you pray in the Holy Ghost?
Come on.
No, I was busy watching. I was surfing the internet.
Well,
then get what's on the internet. But nothing in the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get anything in the Holy Ghost. Anyway, I'll get over here where I don't need to hit anybody. this woman prayed. She prayed it through. So anyway, it wasn't many days or a couple of weeks after that. She went to church and he said, I got to go to the shop. He worked at a, you know, car mechanic shop, put cars up on, what do you call those racks or whatever. Huh? There. Hoist. This man knows who he's talking about. So he's up there. He said, I got some work I got to do. So he didn't go to church. She went to church. She came home from church and got lunch and everything. He came home a little bit later, middle of the afternoon or something. He's real quiet and unusual. He didn't want to talk. He didn't want to engage. He didn't want to look at her. He just wanted to be alone. She said, what's wrong with you? She said, what happened to you? Something happened to you. She knew her husband. You're not right. Something's not. What happened to you? Did something happen to you down at work? What's going on? And he finally, he said, all right, I'll tell you. She said, her husband said that he was down working on a car and the car slipped off the rack and fell right on top of him. And he's laying there with his car crushing the life out of him. And he said, I'm thinking, this is it. I'm gone. This is it's over. See, he just turned 40.
Yeah.
Those were his words.
Yeah.
His words.
Yeah.
His words brought that to pass.
Yes.
But somebody yielded to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
His wife had prayed that out. She didn't know what she's praying about. And he said, and he's all shook up about it. He's not normal. He didn't even want to talk to her. These things are still supernatural things are still new to him. So he said, that car fell, and I'm laying there dying, and the life's being pressed out of me. And he said, all of a sudden, something just picked that car up and moved it off to the side, and I crawled out. And he said, nothing wrong with my chest. And, well, that would shake you up, wouldn't it? Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Man, Pastor, I want to see miracles like that. Are you interested? Are you interested?
Yes.
Are you interested enough to do what is required to do to get that kind of miraculous move of God.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe so much power can be made available. Not a single sick person in the building remains sick. They all have to go home healed. It's called making tremendous power available. You can't receive it for everybody, but there's a lot of things that God knows is getting ready to happen. He doesn't want it to happen. We've got to get this message out as well as the message of faith.
Yes.
See, his words, because of the lack of knowledge of the message of faith, his words almost killed him. But guess what? We got to get this message out just as much as the message of faith out about yielding to the Holy Ghost in prayer. Because, listen to me, some people's life depends on it. There's people in eastern Iowa that their life depends on our prayer life.
Yes.
Well, no, it depends on Jesus. Yeah, and Jesus uses you. He's using you and me. He's not doing this by himself. When he moves on us to pray, it's because he wants to do something. He has something he has in mind. The Holy Ghost is passing it on to our spirit, and he's got something he wants to accomplish.
Amen.
Are you interested?
Yes.
If we're interested in the supernatural, we're interested in prayer. We're interested in praying in the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you read through the book of Acts. The whole day of Pentecost came because they were praying. You look at Acts chapter number 4. Being let go. Remember, they told them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. They were let go, and they went to their own company, reported all the chief priests and elders had said, and they heard that. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord in prayer and said, Lord, thou art God, made heaven and the earth, sea, and all that in them is. But the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the heathen rage? People imagine vain thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
For against the Lord and against thy Christ are they risen up to do whatever thy hand determined to be done.
Yep.
Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants with all boldness. They speak thy word. Stretch forth your hand to heal.
Yes.
That signs and wonders be done in the name of thy child Jesus.
Yes.
In the name. Do you know we were preaching on the name?
Yes.
There's something else we didn't mention that's in the name.
Yes.
Signs and wonders is in the name.
Yes.
Well, I used the name and nothing happened. That's probably because you weren't under the anointing. I'm not talking about your life. I'm talking about other people's lives. In your life, you got authority to use that name. But in other people's lives, you got to do that under the anointing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen.
So they prayed, and the place was shaken, and the place was filled with, they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done. Notice, as a result of praying, you ought to go through the book of Acts and connect the miraculous to their prayer life. Well, we don't see what they had in the book of Acts. Do we see prayer meetings like they had in the book of Acts?
Come on.
Huh? Then you go over to the 12th chapter. Peter's in prison. They're going to kill him the next morning. Remember that? They had already killed James, proving they would do it. But prayer. Whew, my. What is that? The fifth verse there? Acts 12, verse 5, 6, something like that. Is that verse 5? Verse 5. But prayer was made without ceasing. That wasn't just a little God bless him prayer. That wasn't we claim it done in the name of Jesus. Let's go home and go to bed. They'd have got to call the next morning to come get the body. If that's what they had done. So you got a lot of people wanting to use faith for everything.
Thank you.
Let me rephrase that. Faith is for everything. But use the prayer of faith for everything. The prayer of faith is not going to work in every case.
No, it's not. You're so right. Come
on. Prayer of faith will work where it's supposed to work.
Where it's supposed to. Yeah.
And mainly the prayer of faith is for you in your own personal life.
Right.
The prayer of faith is how a person receives salvation, right? Can anybody else do that for them? The person that needs to get saved? Can you pray the prayer of faith for somebody to get saved?
No.
Nope, can't do it. And you can't pray the prayer of faith for somebody else to get healed unless they agree with you.
That's right. Yes,
unless they agree with you. You can pray the salvation prayer, have somebody agree with you, and they get saved.
Yes, sir. Yep.
But you can't just say, Father, I believe I receive Uncle Tom saved in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No. Amen.
Amen.
They have to pray the prayer of salvation.
Yes. Yes.
But you can sure pray in the Holy Ghost and make tremendous power available. They so much so that they shake under conviction.
Yes. Yes.
So, every time I get started on talking about prayer here at the church, I just wish we had another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Morning and night, 3 weeks just talking about prayer. Praise the Lord. Are you interested?
Yes,
are you interested in that kind of signs and wonders? Are you interested in the dead being raised? Are you interested in angels being dispatched? But prayer was made.
Yes.
And you know what's happened? An angel went to the jail cell.
Yeah.
Slapped Peter on the side, said, wake up. What are you doing sleeping through a visitation?
Yeah.
That's faith.
Yeah. He's
just sleeping. I mean, he's cutting Z's and they're going to kill him the next morning. Most people wouldn't be cutting Z's. They'd be nervous and all anxious. But he's sleeping. The angel had to wake him up, put your clothes on. And he put his clothes on, the chains fell off. And he said, come with me. And he walked right through the door. And the Bible says they went past, I think it was two wards. That means two guards.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did they get past those guys?
Come on.
Yeah.
You tell me how that happened. It's either one of two things. Either the angel blinded them.
Yeah.
Or else he put them out under the power.
Yeah.
Remember whenever the angel came down to roll the stone away, the Bible says the keepers quaked and became as dead men.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know where anybody in the Bible who fell out under the power right there. Some guys that fell out under the power.
Yeah.
They saw the angel. Boom.
Yeah.
And these aren't Gomer Pyle guys. They're guards.
Yeah.
These are Arnold Schwarzenegger guys. Compared to an angel, they're just Gomer Pyle guys. So, but so that's supernatural. A lot of supernatural. I mean, guards didn't even see him, or else they fell out of the power. Chains falling off. The doors of the prison came open, and then there was a gate or a wall all around the prison, and to get into the city, and that opened automatically, supernaturally. There's a whole lot of the miraculous going on here. Well, why didn't that happen for James?
Come on.
They didn't pray. We have no record that they prayed. My goodness. Are you interested? Are you interested enough to lay aside the distractions? I got quiet on that, didn't I? I'm interested. Well, how about 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. There's things that need to be watched over. Especially here in these last days. I'm asking you to help me watch over the church. Sometimes I get in the spirit and I actually get to pray in the night so long that I get to, and I've been doing this lately because I got to get up and I need strength in the morning. I said, Lord, if it'd be all right with you. Because I get one project finished and he gets me on something else or somebody else.
Yeah.
I get to praying, and I'm getting weary.
Come on.
I said, it'd be all right with you. Every now and then I do this. It'd be all right with you. I'd like to get some more sleep. And he has never said no.
Right.
That's been interesting.
Yeah.
But you could give yourself to prayer until, because there's enough to pray about.
Yes.
Well, I don't ever get any unction to pray about it because you're not paying attention.
Right.
You got to be more interested.
Yeah.
So true.
Huh?
So true.
I've had a few bumps and bruises in life, and I'm not interested in that anymore. I'd rather get some things prayed out. To where we get these things that are maybe we don't even know that are coming. We get on top of them. Remember, I told you for a number, I think it was a number of months, maybe close to a year, maybe not quite close to a year. I'd get over in the spirit, and I kept being aware something's going to try to rise up in the church. Something's going to try, and I didn't know what it was. I never knew in prayer. I never knew what it was, but I'd see it. It'd be like I see an attack against the church, but I saw it was going to rise up in the building, and I'd sit and pray. I go, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. I didn't even know what it was, but I just knew it's not going to happen because I say so.
That's right. Amen.
And I'd pray in the Holy Ghost. And then it came into the service. I won't go into it. Well, I think most of you know what it was. But it didn't prevail. It could have turned into a national lawsuit. Not something we did, but because of agendas of certain people. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It could have been spread all over the news and all kinds of stuff. No, we didn't do anything wrong. But see, now there's these agendas with the homosexuals and stuff. Well, you got to let me go into the women's bathroom and stuff. No, we don't. No, we don't.
No.
If you're here to get free, you're welcome to be here. But if you're here with an agenda to be used of the devil, you're not welcome here. I'm not everybody's pastor.
That's right.
I'm the pastors of the ones that want to be pastors.
Yes.
So if you don't want to be pastored, then I'm not your pastor. Go to somebody where they'll receive you. Because you say, well, you don't receive sinners? Sinners, yes, but not people with agendas to destroy the church. Anyway, I'll get off of that. Praise the Lord. But see, through prayer, we could see that. No, you don't. No, you don't. All the threats came, lawsuits and all kinds of things, because they want to try to push their agenda and get it out in the national news and get everybody. And all that came. I'm going to, right after this and this and this, I'm going to, and they haven't heard from him since. Because that wasn't him, it was the devil.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, well, I don't like the way you pastor. Well, then you go start a church and do it your way. And see how quick the devils take over your church. Well, we love sinners. I didn't say I didn't love sinners. Amen. We're talking about, anyway, I'll get off of that. Tell your neighbor, he's going to move on now. You got to be sober. You got to be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's walking around. Then it also says the end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch. 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 That's what I was doing in the spirit. I was watching over the congregation. I saw someone's going to try. No, you don't. See, I'm watching over it. Like a shepherd, like a Bible talks about shepherd on the hillside, they watch over the sheep. That's what a pastor is. He's watching over the congregation. Well, that's not love towards that person. That's love towards this congregation.
Exactly.
Who wants the fellowship with God without devils being in the church? That's love towards this congregation. Amen. A lot of you would have left, and you should have, if we'd have let that stuff in. How'd I get on that? I don't know why you need that tonight, but I guess we got on it. So be sober. Be sober. What does sober mean? Well, we know what the opposite of sober is. In our society, people get drunk, right? We call them, they're not sober. They're under the influence. Well, under the influence of what? In their case, alcohol. But in the Bible sense, sober doesn't mean just don't be full of alcohol, although it does mean that. It means don't be under the influence of anything that would diminish your spiritual development or hinder your spiritual sensitivity. Amen. A person that's under the influence of alcohol, he's making a lot of mistakes. If he's driving. He shouldn't be driving, but if he's driving, he's going to make some mistakes. If he's trying to walk down the street, he's going to hit a pole or something. Right? When he's talking to people, he's saying things he shouldn't be saying.
Right.
He ruins relationships that way. Divulges all sort of confidential things that he should, because he's under the influence. When you're under the influence, he said, be sober. That means don't be under the influence of the world and the flow of the world. Come on, I'm just to the point to where you're making mistakes. What do you mean making mistakes? I just simply mean that you're not in the right mindset doing the right thing because of what time it is. Notice he said the end of all things is at this. I'm 1 Peter 4, 7 now. The end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. He's talking about the end times. We're in the end of the end times. We're up here at the, I mean, you know, we're people are wondering, I mean, are we going to see the World War III now? What's going on? I mean, we got crises and diseases and inflation and nations shaking and lack of resources and printing money as fast as they can print it, and which means nothing more than financial hardship. I didn't say for you and me. But, you know, what's going on? The end of all things is at hand. So what are we supposed to do? He said, be sober. Because if you're not, you're going to be doing the wrong thing. You're going to be making mistakes. Well, what would be a mistake? A mistake would be not watching in prayer. That would be the mistake. You see what I'm saying there, 1 Peter 4, 7? Amen. Be sober. That means don't be under the influence of the world. Be caught up with the spirit of the world. Be distracted by natural things. You understand what I'm talking about? To the point of what? To where you don't have a prayer life. Where you don't have a prayer life. The 24-hour news cycle is designed to keep you always irritated. As soon as one crisis is either over or they're done milking it, they jump on another one. So that you can jump from being perturbed at this to being perturbed at that. Rather than be in faith, you're always under the influence of the voice of the world. Are you out there? Which is under the influence of a spirit. The Bible calls the Satan the god of this world. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching better than your amen. This verse is talking about not being distracted by this modern life. Amen. We have things. Do we have a natural side to our life? Absolutely. Absolutely. But don't be all so caught up in it that you don't have this don't have a prayer life in place.
Amen. Amen.
You understand what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Still glad you came tonight? There are so many distractions in this world. And then really, you know, not being distracted by the distractions of life have to apply to this age more than any other age. Because there are so many distractions. So many. So you need to simplify your life. I'm saying this by the Spirit. You need to declutter your life. You ever gone through a phase in your house, you're like, I got to declutter this closet. You know, I keep buying new clothes and I've never taken out the old clothes. Or declutter a pantry or declutter a whatever. Your garage. I mean, garages have a way of just kind of getting everything's thrown in there. And after a while, you got to step over the lawnmower to get to the rake and you can't, you know. You just need to declutter it, reorganize it, throw out that old broken hoe and that old broken rake and all the cardboard boxes that you're never going to use.
Seriously.
And that's what you need to do with your spiritual life sometimes. I've had plenty of times the Lord has said, I want you to cut this out. Something crept in. Anybody know what I mean by crept in? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, he's going to talk about that now. Mark 4:18 in the Amplified says, the cravings and passionate desire for other things. Remember, the sower soweth the word. That's the parable of the sower. And this is the thorny ground. What are the thorns? He said, the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Notice that word creeps in. You got to watch the creep. Absolutely. You got to watch the creep. What is the creep? It's the slow move towards being distracted.
Yes, that's
or the slow move to being more interested in natural things than spiritual things. Pastor, you're preaching good. Okay, thank you. You know what? He said these other things creep in. That means you got to watch. He said watch and pray. He means watch what's trying to creep in. There are, I know a lot of ministers that I used to have good fellowship with that it's hard to talk about spiritual things with them anymore. I am interested in spiritual things. But they have got a little success and got a few things like a motorcycle and something else.
Okay.
And that's all they want to talk about anymore.
Yes, sir.
That's called the creep.
The creep. All right. There you go.
That's the creep. That's right.
You know what I'm talking about? What? That's not what got them there.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
But that will keep them from going into the next phase.
Yeah.
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 Come on.
I knew I had more unction to teach tonight. You got to guard guard the word in your heart, but you've also got to guard things creeping in and robbing your prayer life.
Yes.
Robbing you of your prayer life. Say to your neighbor, watch the creep. You know what that means? That means you can't set it and forget it. What do you mean, set it and forget it?
Yeah.
It's a little like consecration. Well, I consecrated myself back there years ago, and so I'm just... No, it's a daily thing. It's every day. I mean, the Lord tells you, I want you to do this today. You got to consecrate again. And that's the way the creep is. It's a daily thing. You got to watch over yourself daily. I'm talking to this congregation. I'm not trying to be mean. I just, because there is some situations that need to be addressed. But there was a situation recently. I wanted to have a prayer meeting, and the Lord said, no, everybody's distracted right now. Well, okay. I did what the Lord said. But that wasn't His will. I understand there's things, there's seasons that you got to attend to certain things. I understand that. But man, just hear what the Spirit's saying. You hear what the Spirit's saying? Tell your neighbor, watch the creep. That means you can't set it and forget it. You have to constantly examine yourself and judge yourself, or your attention will begin to creep away from spiritual things, which are the most important, and become totally engrossed in natural things. Amen. We have a natural side to our life. We've got things, duties, we've got families, we've got responsibilities. We understand that, but all things in moderation. All things in moderation. We even have things we enjoy. I got things I enjoy. But I know whenever it's bothering me now. I'm spending too much time on it. Everybody knows where that is for themselves, right? Amen. There's just too much in our culture. I'm just going to work with this a little bit. There's just too much in our culture, just busy, 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 busy. People cannot sit still in their living room without a TV on, without watching the internet. I just convicted myself. Okay, so they just can't sit still. They got to have busy, busy, busy. Their mind has to be on something. Their mind has to be busy. If something ever did float up out of their spirit, there's no channel open where God can speak through them. Amen. Amen. It wouldn't be so bad if people were busy, busy, busy being productive for the kingdom of God. Well, praise God. Y'all still love Pastor? I'll just say this. I knew there was more unction on teaching tonight. Maybe we'll just follow this here tonight. You got to even watch the creep in serving in the ministry. Now, I got to explain what I mean by that. Meaning, you serve, but you don't have fellowship with God. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you don't have personal time meditating on the Word. You never get real quiet and really meditate or feed on the Word. I don't mean you have to do it for half the day, but I'm just talking about until your spirit's satisfied. I'm not even saying it has to be an hour. Just till your spirit is satisfied. I know when my spirit's satisfied. As soon as my spirit's satisfied, woo, glory, here I go. And I'm about my day and I'm busy, busy, busy. I got to get things done.
Come on. Yes, sir.
But my spirit, I went into that satisfied that I put first things first.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. So Luke 10, 38 through 42, I won't turn there, but Jesus said to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things. Say out loud, many.
Many.
We got to cut down that many. You can have a full schedule and not be under the care or the distraction of any of it. We've got to learn to properly divide this here. But notice, when he said, you're careful and troubled about many things, she's serving in helps ministry when he said that to her. So you can be busy in helps ministry and think that's equal to be having fellowship with God. That's not equal to having fellowship with God. That's not equal to having a prayer life. Yeah, tell your neighbor, he's preaching all right. Amen. Let me say it again. You have a lot going on and not be carrying the care of any of it or not letting any of it distract you. In other words, all day long, you're just staying tuned in to what's happening down here. And sometimes a glory bubble comes up. You go, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you for how good you are. I don't know if you know what a glory bubble is. Pray and you'll get one. But it's not about not having anything, you know, not having anything in the natural that we do. It's about not letting those things distract us. I'm convinced the devil is a master at distracting people from life in the Spirit.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
And we're all people, so we all know what we're talking about.
Yes.
Amen. And he doesn't just use distract. He doesn't just use, you know, duties in the natural realm to distract us. He uses things like strife. He uses things like, other problems that come up. You ever notice you commit to having a prayer life daily or something like that, a certain amount of time a day. You ever notice there's always something. I mean, you go to prayer, ring, ring, ring. There goes your phone. Bzz, bzz, text, 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 text.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come
Turn
on.
It off.
Yep.
It's not that those people are evil.
Yeah.
You just have to stay. Keep your attention on what you've decided to give yourself to. Amen. Hallelujah. The distractions will rob you of your efficiency in the Spirit, and they will rob you of your sensitivity and spiritual accuracy. It's not that natural things aren't important. It's that what is most important.
Yeah, that's good.
There it is. Put the most important things first.
Yeah.
What has the Lord been saying to us right now is really, really most important? Prayer.
Prayer. Yes, sir.
Prayer. Remember, he said you're behind. He basically said you've prayed out everything this church has done already, and you got to pray out more or else you're stuck.
Yeah.
That's not a compliment.
No, that's not.
Philippians 1:10 in the Amplified says, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value.
Yes, sir.
Recognizing the highest and best and distinguishing the moral differences.
Yeah. Right.
And on and on. But notice he said, surely learn to sense what is vital. Learn to sense what is vital.
Yes, sir.
In Martha's case, serving was good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't what was vital.
That's right.
And she had her timing misplaced.
Yes, sir.
Right now is the time to be sitting at the Word.
Yep.
Come on. Yeah.
Have you ever gone through your day, you had a prompting at the beginning of the day to do something spiritual, you know, pray or read your Bible or something, and you disobeyed it, and your day just went to pot? I'm saying it nice.
No.
And you know, you go, you just lay down, you lay your head down at night and you go, I know, Lord, I forgive me. I know. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Notice what she said. This is Martha to Jesus. To Jesus about Mary, because Mary's sitting there. The Bible said, the Amplified says she seated herself. It didn't say she just sat there. It said she seated herself.
Yes, she did.
You got to do. You ever had to seat a child, sit him down?
Yes,
is it the boy or the girl? No, I'm kidding. I knew that's why I said that. But that's the way you got to do yourself sometimes. You got to sit yourself down. And your mind wants to go to an email you got to get, an email you got to do, or somebody's phone call you got to return.
Let it go.
But you
got to
say, no.
Thank you.
And then you finally get that off of you, and you get your spirit fed, and you're like, woo!
Come on.
I got an answer that I needed. Or I prayed something through, and on Sunday morning it happened, and the miracle came for somebody. This is not just fictitious stuff. This is real. This is the way these things work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So sometimes you got to get a hold of your tension and your flesh and sit yourself down like a parent sits the child down. Your flesh wants to be busy, busy, busy. It's a lot easier to search the internet and talk on the phone with Susie Q or Joe Blow. You know what I'm talking about? Or watch television. It's a lot easier to do that than discipline your flesh and discipline your mind and say, I'm going to give myself to praying for the service on Sunday morning. Because somebody's there that has a need. They need a miracle.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What are you doing on Saturday night? Well, Pastor, I know you pray on Saturday night because you got the service. Well, is it just my service or is it you? Well, I don't need anything. Well, how about somebody that does? Woo, getting a little tight, but it's right. Natural things have their place, but they're not to occupy first place. Amen. In our lives. Amen. To move on with God, we've often got to turn aside from the natural, just like Moses did. And turn our interest towards spiritual things.
That's right.
That's what I'm trying to say tonight. Church, let's turn our interest toward prayer.
Yes.
I don't know how to do it. This is part of the way you learn how to do it.
Yes.
Start sitting yourself down.
Yes. Right.
Amen. You get good at things by renewing your mind through the word, number one. But number two, by practicing it.
Yes.
I remember somebody was telling about a prayer meeting they went to. They said some people that had been seasoned in prayer for years, they were praying with them. And they said they went into the Spirit, and it's like they went somewhere. They got on a bus and went somewhere, and I don't even know where they went. In fact, I didn't even know how to get on the bus. But she kept hanging around them, and she started learning where to get on how to get on that bus. And she'd go with them. Get some things done, come on back, and sip some tea. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But she didn't learn by staying away. She learned by jumping right in. Wow, Pastor went somewhere. Pastor Debbie went somewhere. I don't even know where they went. I'm just watching the clock. And they're dealing with people over in Asia and dealing with things are happening. I mean, they're calling them out by name. And an angel came and did this. And I didn't see an angel. It just looked like 823 to me. But you can develop, and all of a sudden, you're there. And you pray out a miracle for Sunday morning service. You want to do something that will change your life. Pray out something that somebody needs, and come to service and watch it happen. You'll go home, and you'll go, Suki, Suki. Oh, my, my. But you've got to show interest. I don't know anything about it. Just be interested. Be interested enough to show up. When the bus comes and somebody goes and you don't know where they're at, just go, I'm interested. I'm interested. I smell is exhaust fumes, but I'm interested. Hallelujah.